welcome to members of the committee, Dr. Ngubane, and members of the board, the executive management of the SABC. Quite a few stakeholders and interest groups here. Welcome to all of you, and also to a special welcome to the media. This meeting will be open for the whole day, so you are free to observe the proceedings and to report accordingly. I know all of you are going to give us a very kind and positive report tomorrow morning. Thank you very much in anticipation of that. All right, members, I think we've got quite a hectic day in front of us. We have to receive the annual report of the SABC, including a performance review for the current year, a financial report, and the outstanding matters from our previous meeting in respect of the appointment of Mr. Fred Molefe as Head of News and Current Affairs, and also the turnaround strategy and the functionality or otherwise of the board itself. Those were outstanding matters, and we thought that we should get full reports on all of those items. And then later in the afternoon, we also, as the committee, need to complete our BRRR report. We agreed on that yesterday. I hope you've had time to look at it and that we can smoothly adopt it this afternoon. Then we can complete our work. Before I proceed, I need to point out that we have got correspondence from the Secretary to the National Assembly. I think it has been circulated already to the members. Just indicating that the Speaker has received correspondence from the Presidency in respect of the resignations. And may I just read out the letter to you? This is addressed to the Honourable Speaker. Resignation from the Board of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. This is the letter, the contents. I have received resignation letters from the following non-executive board members of the SABC: Ms. F. Secha, Mr. D. Ledwi, Mr. M. A. Mello, and Ms. B. Masekela. I have accepted with immediate effect the resignation of the above-mentioned non-executive board members of the SABC. There are now four vacancies of non-executive board members of the SABC. In terms of Section 13(1) of the Broadcasting Act, 12 non-executive members of the SABC board are appointed by the President on the advice of the National Assembly. Section 13(8) of the Act provides that a member of the board appointed to fill a casual vacancy must hold office for the unexpired portion of the period for which the vacating member was appointed. This letter serves to inform the National Assembly to initiate a process that will lead to the filling of the four vacancies. Yours sincerely, the President. We have taken advice from the legal section. Our understanding is that those four members are no longer board members of the SABC as of yesterday. So they have no speaking rights in this particular meeting. What is left now are the remaining members of the board, both non-executive and executive. That is the understanding we have, and I think that means one of the tasks or the challenges for the committee is to determine how it will proceed to fill these vacancies. I think we just keep that in mind while we are discussing the rest of the report. Ms. Killian?
Chair, I just needed some clarity. If we read what has been signed by the Honourable President, then I just wanted to ask, because it says here, I have accepted with immediate effect. It means the acceptance is with immediate effect, or is it the resignation with immediate effect of the above board members? The reason being that we understood that it was only going to be implemented with a three-month period, which would have allowed the board to function. Because without the four board members presently, the board will actually not be able to meet. Is that correct? Because a quorum is nine members. So can we just get clarity about that? Is it the resignation that is with immediate effect? Or is it the acceptance with immediate effect? Thank you.
Look, the advice that we have got from the Presidency, if you read that sentence, it says, I have accepted with immediate effect the resignation of the above-mentioned non-executive board members. So the resignation is with immediate effect, and you know, in our verbal interaction with the parliamentary councillor to the deputy president, he has indicated that is the intention, that as of the date of this letter, those members should be considered as being as having resigned. And then, if you read the next sentence, there are now 4 vacancies. So it's explicit and very clear that there are now vacancies in the board as of today.
The reason for the concern was that it was probably not communicated as such, and some of us understood that there would still be a period, a notice period served, which would have allowed for the board to function. So that's just why I wanted to clarify that.
Kuiwani?
No, sir. You see, EHA were not listening to news. We've got a letter to the from the president, and it's clear. I'm happy because the honourable member finally understood what is the content of the letter. Can we proceed, Chair? Because we cannot debate the letter. It's clear. There are 4 vacancies. Those members, they are relieved from their duties. They are not board members as we speak. We must fill those vacancies immediately as soon as possible.
All right. Can I suggest that we will entertain discussion on this later on? Because it's one of the things the committee will have to determine in terms of its own program for the year.
Chair, what are we discussing there? How do we proceed?
No, not now.
I'm saying, what is it which you are going to discuss, the letter?
No, we are not discussing the letter.
Oh.
We will have to discuss the process at a later stage, oh, but in the course of this meeting. All right, with that clarity, I'd like to then call upon the chairperson of the board, Dr. Benin Gubani, to lead us in the presentation on the items that are on the agenda. Chairperson, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Communications. Of course, the members of the board present here, I will ask them to introduce themselves to you.
Robert Nicholson, acting GCR of the SABC.
Lerato Nage, the acting CFO of the SABC.
Charlotte Mampani, the acting Chief Operating Officer of the SABC.
And Cedric Kina, pardon.
Desmond Golding, Bush member.
Claire O'Neill, board member.
Suzanne Voss, board member.
Peter Harris, board member. And my apologies for being late, Jim. My plane was delayed by an hour.
Are there any further apologies?
Jefferson, Mr. Clifford Motsepe, his plane could not take off from Limpopo because of the weather last night, and so he could not be here.
All the board members are here except Mr.
And Pippa Green, board member.
So why don't you come in front so we can recognize you also?
Okay.
Because you look like a journalist from here. No, she's an academic now. She's not a journalist. She works at the Tshwane University, Pretoria University. But you take a seat in front so that we can fire at the right place if we have to.
Chair.
Who is speaking?
Chair. This side. And Solomon Kwetle, Group CEO of the SABC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will request that we begin by presenting our annual report and the financial results, and the CFO will do so. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. The presentations this morning, there are 3 of them. As requested, we have...
Switch on. Oh.
Thank you. Sorry. As requested, we've got the annual results to the 31st of March 2010. We have the presentation of the 6 months results to the 30th of September 2010. And then we have a discussion document on the turnaround strategy, the strategy going forward, Mr. Malefi's appointment. And then we've also got another document share which discusses Note 46 in annual financial statements should questions arise in that regard later. So these are those are the four documents that are available. We'll make them available to the Secretary in the course of the morning. Thank you, Chair. Chair, the first section is the non-financial performance of the SABC. If we look across the last year at the audience share, that's to the Secretary, if she hasn't got them. The document is the fourth document, Mr. Langer. Sorry, it's the fourth document, which is the explanation of Note 46, which hasn't been circulated.
Okay.
Tell me the explanation to Note 46 that hasn't been circulated, Chair.
Are you talking this one here?
Yes, Chair.
This was circulated. This is the document we're talking to now. SABC Limited Annual Report, year-end results.
And that is a presentation that covers this document. So it's the highlights and explanation of this document. Is that acceptable, Chair?
That's it.
Thank you, sir. The first one was, and these are the television shares as measured by ADEX over the last 5 years. With the total SBC market share in the year F9010 closed at 66%, which is in line with our targets in the year. And if you, I'm going to use a cursor, so hopefully that will be easier than the pointer. Still showing the general difficulty we have in the positioning of our PCS channel SABC3, where the share has fallen from 15 to 11% over the last 5 years. Some of that has moved to SABC1, SABC2, remains more or less between 18 and 19% share. ETV has picked up most of the share loss from the SABC, although DSTV has also gained, but we don't have the information available on how much SABC is watched on DSTV. On radio, our share has fallen from 71 to 65, in line with expectations following the introduction of more independent stations and community stations. And you can see the community stations in particular have grown quite rapidly in the course of the year.
Sorry, my story.
I'm interrupting you because I needed clarity on the procedure here. I thought you were going to get a remark from the chairperson or whatever, a report or something. What happened? Are we starting with the financial report? What report are we getting right now?
So at the moment, we are getting the briefing on the annual report, which is an item on the agenda.
Is that what you requested?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Proceed.
Sorry, sir. Thank you. We've also provided some information on SBC News Share, where you can see the African language news stations on SBC 1 are now 35% market share. SABC 2 has fallen slightly from 23 to 20%, but SABC 3 has fallen from 13 to 10, and that is in line with the fall of SABC 3 in general. If we look at local content delivery, and the way this chart works is it's measured on full day, the ICASA quota and the SABC achievement. You'll note, Chair, that we are generally well ahead of our mandate conditions and license conditions in the year. Despite all the challenges, in terms of our broadcasting of local content, news and current affairs, documentaries, children's program and education, the SABC exceeded its mandate, both on SABC 1 and SABC 2. I'm just going to get this, sorry. On SABC 3, we did battle a little bit with children programming chair. And that was a direct consequence of the change in some local content production as a result of the funding crisis in the first half of this fiscal. If we look at language delivery, measured in weeks, in languages other than English, SABC 2 performed about 5 weeks, 5 minutes a week less than its quota, and SABC 1 was about 45 minutes short of its quota. Marginalized languages remain the main sticking point for the SABC in terms of its local content and mandate delivery. If we look at the genres delivered by the SABC, and we've also given the breakdown in prime time and quota, and then also in SABC 2 and 3. So just further detail on the breakdown of performance against local content. We've also given some breakdown on employment equity, where the SABC is ahead of its targets, except for gender balance in the organization. Female managers in particular remain a challenge for the SABC. Turning now to the financial performance, just in the summary of results, and we've got a separate slide on the performance versus government guarantee and the reasons for the breakdown. We'll get to that shortly. Our revenue and other income was approximately $200 million behind the government guarantee target. Our expenses were 34 million rand under, our depreciation and amortization was 20 million under, and our net financing income was 48 million under because we drew down significantly less than the full amount we had planned to under the government guarantee. So consequently, our target was 286 million and we came in at 492, which is a 206 million rand shortfall. On our balance sheet, Chair, you'll note that our current assets closed the year at 2.3 billion, our non-current assets at 2.2, and our non-current liabilities and our current liabilities at 3.1. So essentially the SABC was solvent in a technical sense by a billion rand at the end of the fiscal. And once more, if you look at our cash flow statement, at the end of this year, last year we were in a deficit of 393 million. This year we were positive to the tune of 115. So certainly both the E&E expenditure, the government grants, and the cost reductions pushed the SABC into a much better position at the end of March 2010, although one wouldn't say in a particularly healthy state, there's still a long way to go. If we look at just the key financial ratios, I'm going to skip over that check because it's quite a technical discussion, except to say that our debtors days are coming right in line with the government guarantee very, very slowly. It is a major challenge for us. It's driven off the back of two particular problems we have right now. The one is the way deals were recorded in the organization, and the other one is a general, very illiquid market in South Africa, so where our customers are paying us slowly because they themselves are facing financial constraints. If we look at our revenue breakdown, one still sees that the SABC is very dependent on its advertising revenue, although you can see across the last 3 years there's been a marginal decline in the total contribution of advertising revenue. And we've given you the breakdown. This is the breakdown for the last 5 years in the graph chair. It was 4% lower than the prior year. Our focus is to return to market share on revenue driven off the content and scheduling that drives audience share and the conversion of those audiences into revenue. So the long-term fix on SABC is to get back our market share, as we showed in the first graph, and then to convert that into money. The rate increase in TV licenses helped lift performance of the division, but came in fairly late in the year. The licenses were down to the economy, and collection costs were also down year on year. The increase in E&E allocation of 200 million rand certainly boosted the performance of the SABC, and we'll explain that in a little while. If we look at just purely our advertising revenue share, if you look at one of the core issues that both the AG and other documents looked at, you can see here this issue about, despite our nominal growth in revenue from an advertising base. Our discount percentages, this pink graph at the bottom, shows how much we actually are discounting to stay in the market to get cash. And you can see that, that is a very significant challenge for the SABC, but it is being addressed. The board has put in place a revised discounting policy, and that is being fairly well adhered to at the moment. If we just look at TV license revenues, our income from penalties, despite is continuing to decline as we get a much more stable database in the organization. The nominal growth of 2.7% was achieved despite a rate increase of 11% granted in August with effect from October. So we certainly did benefit from that. The cost of debt collection agencies fell in the course of the year as less money was received from this channel of collection. This reflects the difficult economic conditions and the lower success in recovering fees from defaulting license holders. The direct license cost also fell by 13% in the year under review. So those strategies we put in place 18 months about austerity and cost reductions are starting to come through in these results, even in TV license collection costs. If we look at our expenditures, Chair, just the total expenses to run the organization were 5,283 versus a budget of 5,276, so we are 7 million over on our expenses, and we'll explain that in the next few slides. That's just a breakdown of where the money goes through in the organization, and you can see the content cost, shown as amortization of rights, remains a very big cost. This yellow bar, unfortunately, your screen is a different color to mine, so this large bar here remains the employee compensation and benefit costs. We'll explain some of the challenges around that in a little while. I know people always seem to think it's just about headcount. It isn't. It is about the total cost of employment. And then there's our payments to Centec in the signal distribution cost. And the broadcast cost is our inbound contribution network. And our freelance cost in 2007-06, when we went live with SAP, we had some accounting issues around how those costs were allocated between broadcast and amortization. So that's why there's that anomaly in that year. If we just look at our expenditure costs, no, I'm going the wrong way. Yeah, okay. Costs of film and sports rights, you can see that our local actual expenditure was 911 versus 619, which is 292 million over, and there was a reduction in our foreign content costs quite significantly because we didn't acquire new content, we amortized what we had. So there was quite a lot of repeats. You can see our foreign sport at 246 million and our education budget at 67, which is in line with government funding. So in total, our spend on content, which is what people want to see on the SBC, was actually slightly ahead of our overall budget by year end, but we did find savings in other areas. Our broadcast costs, which are payments to independent contractors and freelancers, local production costs, royalties to collection societies such as SAMRO, SARL, Norm, were 112 million rand, and then there were cross sponsorships of 38 million rand, which was 40 million rand below where we thought we'd be on trade exchanges. If we look at signal distribution and linking costs, one will remember the big issue here was this outbound network for News International. We spent 18 million rand on that and 29 million rand less. That's 11 million rand less than the prior year. So that withdrawal of SABC News International shows quite clearly through there, and you can see where our linking costs are. This is a big one that we keep on getting questioned about. What we've broken down for you, Yair Chair, is the bottom graph is our permanent staff, and then independent contractors and temporary staff, and then the impact of our defined benefits. And as you can see from that, there's been a concerted effort in the organization to hold the total number of permanent employment positions we've had, but independent contractors and temporary staff have picked up some of the slack because of the number of vacancies and acting positions we have, but we still have this issue about our pension fund and our post-retirement medical aid coming in, and if you could just see year on year, our total cost of employing people outside of defined benefits actually declined year on year. So there was definitely a concerted effort to bring that down. But right at the depth of the year, we settled the pensioners' liability for medical expenses, and we brought that adjustment into account at $224 million. So that sort of pushed us over our target. We didn't manage to get the kind of savings we expected from our leave pay provisions, and we'll explain that in a little while. One of the big hits we took last year, quite considerably, and some of it was necessary, but this is an area where I think management is concerned, is the decline in our marketing spend, the promotion of our platforms and channels, and you can see we came down quite strongly, especially when you compare it to previous year. Year on year, our total expenses, cash costs, came down by 485 million rand between 08-09 and 09-10. So you can see it came in marketing costs, our professional consultancy fees came down quite strongly as well. That was driven by the end of the SAP implementation, the SAP CCC, and there's various numbers of austerity measures that were put in place across the organization around the use of consultants. And the other big one was the so-called project fees, which was really marketing expenditure within content enterprises and local industry development. You can see that came down by 65 million rand. So that was a curtailment of investments in joint ventures into form and the like that were shown there. Travel costs also were just simply cut back quite extensively, reduction in particularly the amount of traveling that was done locally and foreign travel. Our other operational expenses, and here you can see energy costs, facilities, operating leases, cleaning services, transportation costs, and you can see across the board there was a very rapid reduction in the amount of money the SABC was spending on those areas. And that's also shown in this decline in this graph at the end there. So, and then we had other personnel costs, which were the subject of much debate over the course of last year. Those were also curtailed quite strongly. Of concern to us is the cutback in training, although these 2 years here were really the training in the SAP and TVBMS implementations. So we brought that back in-house. The training personnel were equipped, so that was a transfer of skills into the organization. So the staff are still being trained on those applications, but it is being done by SABC employees. Our other administration costs are things like stationery printing, communication, foreign exchange gains and losses and the like. And that's what this big swing is done here. And you can see last year, we still were seeing quite a bit of the rand strength coming through, and of course we had hedged our book according to our policy, so we took some losses on our foreign exchange. Capital expenditures were cut back quite extensively, except for those funded by the government grant. Our working capital allocation shows once more this issue about our current assets and our current liabilities. This was the big pressure we had last year in terms of extending our credit terms on our suppliers, in our supply chain, the local production industry. I think we all know many of those issues. And as you can see, as we paid off the debt, as we took on the long-term debt, we paid down our short-term liabilities. There are still some disputed items that we are busy working through, but certainly I think the TVIC and others would have to admit that it certainly is a much better situation than it was the same time last year. If we look at our program in full and sports rights, these still remain a significant challenge for us going forward, Chair. Closing balance is 416 million rand, and that is nearly three times higher than it was 5 years ago. And that is things like the PSL rights, the SAFA rights, cricket, and those negotiations are underway now. And I'm sure we've seen some of the press positioning of various rights organizations. And then there was our foreign sport. I think we know many of those issues. Where we've got the Olympics, the World Cup football, and a couple of other bits and pieces that were coming through and lifting those foreign rights. Acquisition of film and sports rights, and you can see there, that declined by 565 billion rand in a year. The change in acquisitions as we cut back on those cash flows. Trade and other receivables, we said we are getting towards our target. It is quite difficult. And the other thing that hit us quite badly at the end of last year was this impairment in trade receivables. And this is not just a function of the systems and control issues we had in group sales and marketing, but does reflect an advertising industry that's in distress, where people just simply don't have the cash to pay. So there's our cash flow. So as you can see at the end of the year, Our cash outflow from operating activities in the previous year was 785 million rand, and the current year is 215 million rand positive. So the organization really did manage to manage its cash flows quite extensively, and there is the debt we took on board. Financing activities, our total debt course of the year was 1.3 billion. That was a release of cash holdings as well as the net bank loan. Just a quick reconciliation back to what we had promised under the government guarantee. We should have delivered a loss of no more than 283 million. We came in at 492, which was a variance of 210 million. And really, where did that come from? There was a shortfall in commercial revenue of 316 million rand, TV licenses of 88 million rand, and we got an additional government grant that we could recognize into income from the E&E. It was 200 million in cash, but they're not recognized in the year because that's what we actually amortized across the income statement, was 142 million. So at that point in time, we were 309 million rand behind the government guarantee. If we then look at these unplanned expense adjustments, the A1 Grand Prix, we provided in full for that because they failed to broadcast any of the events. So we've taken the full charge for that. We incurred an additional charge to get out of the 420 million rand obligation to Sports 5 of 27 million rand. We spoke earlier about the pension fund surplus adjustment of 135 million rand, which was not in the government guarantee submission. We had a past service cost repayment charge of 37 million rand. We had interest charge of 8 million rand. And then we had to increase our provision for doubtful debts by 68 million rand at year end. If we took those out, the organization was marginally better than where it promised in its promise of performance. And then, as we said, we looked at how well we had done in managing our leave, and we were 24 million rand worse than we had promised. So that's just an explanation of the big drivers in those changes, sir, as to why we didn't make the government guarantee. I don't know, Mr. Hardy, do you want to take questions on the annual report at this point, or do we want us to do all the presentations first?
Shall we do it one at a time? It's easier that way. We take questions.
Just to emphasize, Chairperson, that the SAPC is not trading recklessly. That, in fact, the going concern status of the company is in good place. We can continue to trade for the rest of the year. We are far from being insolvent. We are actually marginally liquid.
Ms. Killian?
Just a clarification, Chair. Just on the last page, I just wanted to understand the Sport 5 penalty. That was the settlement, as you have indicated. What was the original penalty before negotiations were undertaken to reduce the penalty? Thanks.
We had an obligation. Sorry, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Also, more clarification than anything else. If we could just get clarity as to what exactly this discounted airtime is for advertising. To whom is this discounted airtime offered to? And, you know, on what basis? How do you differentiate between who will get discounted airtime and who won't?
Chair,
sorry.
Yeah. Jefferson, we introduced ourselves, and there are some members that we've never met of this portfolio committee, like the one who is speaking now. We don't know her, so we don't know how we're going to address her.
All right. So may I suggest that when you speak, you just introduce yourself.
Chairperson, apologies. My name is Natasha Michael, and I'm the DA Shadow Minister of Communications.
The dark shadow.
Yeah, I do understand that when one presents financial statements, you do it the way it has been done. The problem is, you know, it's a bit of gobbledygook. I mean, I sit here, I mean, what have you said to me? I don't know. The chairperson tried in the end now to give some explanation, which I found much more useful. I think what Mr. Nicholson must do is he must take us in his confidence. He must see us as his friends. He must see us not as people that you have to confuse and explain what these things mean. You see, I mean, you tell me, I mean, I thought you said in the beginning it's a 206 million deficit. Then it seems the figure changes as you go along. So I don't know what that 206 means. So I really think, I understand, this is not a huge criticism, Mr. Nicholson, but I'm just saying, if you want us to engage you, and you want us to understand you, and you want us to know and be user-friendly, then you must explain to us what all that means. I mean, when you came to receivable trader, what are you talking about? I mean, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I don't know if you're talking about TV or whatever you do. So I think really, can I suggest that you sit down and think about what you said and explain to us what this means? A little while back when you were here, we heard that SABC is just about closing down. There's a huge distress. Now you're saying, well, things don't seem so bad. I want to know what is the difference and how it has happened and what this all means. So I think, as the chairperson tried to explain to us in layman's terms, do that and try and explain this to us. It will help. And then you need to really explain to me that when you're under distress and when you have to meet government guarantees, that you overspend $200 million on benefits to staff. It's the actual $25 million, and then you spend $224 million. I completely fail to understand. If you're trying to meet government guarantees and you spend on benefits to your staff, by the way, we've received huge increases in the last few years. I mean, and something I really want us to examine, Chair, I mean, I wanted to, through you, see if it's possible that we actually can get the salaries of each senior manager and each middle management from 2007 till now. What has happened with the salary package? The last problem we had was the salary package is a huge problem. Even now, it's the biggest item on this agenda. It's $1.7 billion. You pay more in salary, and now you're telling us you're getting a whole new lot of staff in, than you're paying on $1.6 billion on content. So I think, you know, you must come and be honest with us. Come and put those figures in front of us. Tell us, since 2007, Jan van der Merwe, these are the increases in everything, benefits and salaries. Koos van der Merwe, Sunny van der Merwe, that we can see what is happening in this.
That you've got against the van der Merwe.
It's the one surname that I know there will be some of them in the SAP. Okay, you can make that also Dlamini and so on. But I really think, you know, you must come and unpack this salary package to us in a way that is transparent and open. I mean, a lot of it you didn't do as a board. Other boards did it. So you don't have to be scared to come and tell us. It's actually a good thing. You come and show us how you gave less increases since you were there than when the others were. But I really think, Chair, we need a proper unpacking of this stuff. Particularly if you come to me and you say, the actual budget was $25 million for benefits. We've now given $224 million. I mean, like, you know, it's a non-brainer. Then I also do not, look, I understand the economic climate is difficult. But you see, I don't understand when you say to me, we struggle to get the money from advertising agencies.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Advertising agencies get their money. They never work without getting money from their clients. They like attorneys and advocates. Attorney will never brief an advocate if he hasn't got the money here to be able to brief the advocate. Now, who is having difficulty paying? And why don't you cut off those advertising agency services? Like the FinTech has just done and starting to change their whole plan. I do not understand that we will carry people, advertising agencies, by the way, who don't have to pay the money themselves, their clients do. They place an order for you to do work at SABC, and then you come back and say, but you can't collect the money. It makes no sense whatsoever. So I think you need to explain to us what is that all about and what you're going to do about it? These are people that should not be able to put an order with you without putting the money down. I mean, that's just so obvious. So I have many other questions, but I'm going to leave it for now. I'm going to let others ask, and then I'll prepare those and come back to you. Thank you.
Can you get responses to those before we take a further question?
Ms. Killian's question is about the sports foul penalty. Our obligation at that point in time was 420 million rand. The transaction that was done said you can acquire the rights for the January events, the African Cup of Nations events, but if you want to then not go further with this contract, those rights are actually worth 27 million rand more. So the reduction in the amount of money we owed was about 400 million rand. And in order to get out of that, we had to pay 27 million rand to end the contract. So that's where that penalty came from. It was, if we'd continued to pay the 420 million rand over the next 6 years, we wouldn't have had to incur the 27 million rand this year. Ms. Michael? Okay. Discounted to airtime to who and what? And how is this arrived at? One of our core issues this year, so let's start off by, and I'll take Mr. DeLonge's point to heart and try and explain it clearly. Let's simply say there's 100 rands worth of airtime, and someone comes in and they are a very large advertiser. Our policy will then say, well, for a person who's buying this much airtime, they can receive this percentage of a discount. So instead of paying 100 rand, they will pay 75 rand. Two other things then also can affect that price. We will then give what we call value-added airtime. So that would be a number of spots that are not calculated in rand terms, but as an incentive for large advertisers. So there are those two things. There's a discount on the rate card, so it's not 166, so you're only paying 66 in cash. And then we'll give you a further between 5 and 7% in additional airtime spots. Those spots are normally outside of prime time, and they're not normally sold. So, it's, you know, this business is a bit like an airline seat. If it's empty, it's empty. So we use those empty seats to encourage people to spend more rands with us. There were some very large concerns in this course of this fiscal year about how well that was being controlled. And that is the subject of an SIU investigation right now. And the organization, this board in particular, has taken disciplinary action around those events where people went well outside our discount policy. Now, that creates a long-term problem for us because, you know, if you used to pay 9 rand for something, and you should be paying 12, when we come back and say next year you must pay 12 rand plus 5% inflation, it becomes a very difficult conversation. You can't get that money back very quickly. Normally what happens in media companies, you'd have to wait for a boom cycle, and then you can price up. And I'll leave that to better heads than mine. I don't think a boom cycle is likely in the media industry for a time to come, particularly because with multi-channel television, there's more airtime available for sale, so it becomes very difficult to price it up. So who gets the best discounts? We do have a discount grid. It's normally our largest advertisers. Our largest advertisers, there are about 20 really large advertisers. They do some go direct and some go through agencies. I don't want to get into a debate with who's our biggest advertiser, except to say that the government through GCIS is a very large advertiser with the SABC, and they would get the same kind of commercial deal. So we do try and keep those deals for large advertisers in place. Radio is different in the sense that sometimes we have very small advertisers, particularly on the regional stations and some of the African language stations. So in Nelspruit, you know, to get a 20,000 rand order is a big deal. In Johannesburg, perhaps not so much. So we will have grids and discounts that will also help encourage regional spend on regional language stations. So that's the other element to this, is the regional discounting that does occur in order to encourage people to advertise. Mr. DeLonge, okay. I'm afraid I do speak a Cantonese and not English sometimes, so let me apologize for that. And let me come back to what are the issues facing the SABC. It really is, maybe I am making too much of it. Let me just try and get back to where we need to be. Page up. Our first problem starts with making a loss on the income statement.
because that, at the end of the day, translates into cash flow, no matter how you transguise it. So if we make an operating loss, as we did this year, of 420 million rand, that clearly is not a good thing. Having said that, it's 485 million rand less than last year, and that most of that came out of cost savings, which was what the management were told to do at the SABC, and they did as a consequence of the austerity plan. We didn't achieve all the cost savings we wanted, so where did it go wrong? We tried to, as far as we could, to prioritize content on air, which is why some of our content costs went up and slightly over budget. The difficulty we have is in this employee cost of ours, because those people are also on air. You know, so it's not just a simple case of saying, well, those people are all working in the accounts department or in the HR department. Many of them are actually our on-air talents on radio, television, doing news productions, and doing sports productions. So there's a large complement of staff that are employed in that area. What we could cut was things like other personnel costs, the so-called on costs around remuneration. Now, if we look at these on costs, these other personnel costs, okay, it's things like incentives, recoveries from staff, staff transport, training, recruitment. Those were costs that we could bring down quite rapidly by doing something smarter than we were doing. But when we look at how the SABC pays people, there are some real issues with that. Not things like how much we pay for fuel cards. But let me put it this way. When you employ people today in the private sector in a modern world, you'll say to somebody, you know what, Joe, I want you to come and work for me. I'm going to pay you 100 rand. Now, what you do with that 100 rand is you go and buy your own car, you go and buy your own medical aid, you go and buy your own pension fund. You just come here, work for me, and I'll pay you 100 rand at the end of the month. What the SABC does, and I think many parastatals, I don't think it's just the SABC that does this, but the SABC says, I'm making you a promise that when you retire, you will get other benefits. You will get a pension fund benefit, and you will get a post-retirement medical benefit. Now, the SABC has been trying to manage the post-retirement medical benefit quite aggressively over the last few years. We've lost a large number of these court cases. In 2007, we had a review of where we were with the strategy, and this board came in and looked at it again and said, you know what, you're more likely to pay 20 million rand in legal fees than win this case. Settle that case. That settlement effectively affected this income statement by 180 million rand. When we did the government guarantee, that was not brought into account. Everybody knew that we had to settle that case. It was a known event, but it wasn't brought into the calculation. Because that money gets paid out over the next 15 or 20 years as people retire in service. And if they don't retire in service, they don't get the benefit. The other part of it is if you joined the SABC today, you wouldn't get that benefit. So if you joined on the 1st of November, you would not be entitled to a post-retirement medical benefit. That was stopped in 2004-05, if my memory serves me correctly. So we are bringing down that obligation slightly, but you also know that the cost of medical cover have increased faster than the rate of inflation. So there is this thing sitting on your balance sheet called the fine benefit funds that eats a lot of money every year, and it is a big problem for us in terms of our total remuneration paid to staff. In terms of how much money we are paying to people, certainly I think last year we did the analysis. We did provide some of that information, but if we've been requested to do it again, we will put together the presentation. I'm not sure about individuals. Certainly what we do in the annual financial statements, which is in note 44 and on page 111, is we give the remuneration of all of our senior executives, and we have done so for the last 8 years. So it isn't a big issue for us to tell you how much those costs have increased over the last 8 years. So certainly we can provide you that information. We do make full disclosure of our staff benefits and remunerations. A
And there have been some changes into the number of senior managers we have at the organization. I think we've had that conversation already. We are looking at how the organization needs to be restructured. We'll deal with that a little bit later in the last presentation as to how what our approach is. I do know there were some very defined targets set in the government guarantee around reduction in the cost of employment. Now, that strategy must be to look at how we pay people. Because here's what I know. If you're 26 and you come into work at the SABC, you really don't think that you're going to be there at 66. So most of the time, a medical aid doesn't do anything for you. But if the SABC has to fund it for people who worked at the SABC 15 years ago, that's a big charge that the SABC still carries for people who aren't productively employed at the SABC. But they have legal entitlement to that. So that's and that one in terms of the medical aid is being dealt with. We still have a internal medical fund, which is well funded. We may be able to do something about that, but obviously there's a process that's engaged in that already. But the strategy has been developed, and is being reviewed again now as to what we have to do about the medical fund itself. Our pension fund is a very large fund. It is well funded, but you'll also know that 2 years ago there was a major meltdown in the financial markets. We took a 304 million rand impairment charge on that, and this year we've got 130 that back. So there's still some way to go around what happens with our pension fund. But we don't believe we'll have to put cash into the pension fund. But we have been taking a pension fund holiday out of the surplus. And when that ends, the SABC will have to pay another 60 million rand a year in cash into the pension fund. So we are looking at all of those strategies and how we reduce our costs. But unfortunately, that one saves you cash. You still take the charge in the income statement. So no matter how you... The defined benefits is a big issue for us, Mr. Dranger. And I think I've covered that. That's about your medical aid, your post-retirement medical aid, and how the pension fund actually works. Because it costs us almost 36%. So I'll come back to you. You get paid 100 rand. If we've made these promises to you, that's 136 rand. But when you compare yourself to the private enterprise, you know, if we say, well, he has 100 rand for you and 100 rand from the competitor, and our on-cost is 36 rand, obviously you're going to get 64 rand in cash, and it's going to look a lot like we're paying you significantly less than you can get elsewhere, because you don't expect to finish your service at the SABC. And those trends are there. We looked at them before. People used to work at the SABC for 15, 20 years. Today, that's less than 7 years. So people don't come to the SABC because of that benefit, but the benefit is still on our income statement. So that explains, I think, the defined benefits. The other one, I think the chair was quite right to raise it. We have a clean audit report. The issue in the audit report is around this thing about liquidity. And perhaps I can just explain this. There's two things. There's liquidity and solvency. It's a bit like everyone knows a farm. You've got a farmer with lots of cows, with lots of assets, but they don't have any cash. So the SABC had that situation, see, where its solvency was fine, but its liquidity was terrible, and it couldn't meet its obligations on a month-to-month basis to its suppliers. That billion rand was used to relieve that that liquidity crisis the SABC faced. Yes, we still have to pay the Nedbank back the billion rand starting in 2012, but our crisis was one of solvency, not the issue. Liquidity, very definitely the issue. So when we came to this year's audit, we could prove that given the billion rand funding already and the facilities that are available from funding institutions without a further government guarantee, we could trade successfully until October, November next year without going to government for another government guarantee. And we'll go through the 6 months results right now because it's actually looking better than that. So we've had a fairly good first 6 months, especially around our liquidity. Trade receivables, I know it's a very fancy word, but simply that is people who owe you money. You raise this issue about advertising agencies. If you know that here's what I know about a very large advertising group in this country. The only business in their business that is making any money is their media placement business, and that is our customer. And the reason that media placement agency is making any money is because of the interest. and that is the amount of money they earn between the time they get their money from their supplier and the time they pay the media owners. So if you have a system where you don't quite know what your discounts were, and they have to pay it 45 days, on the 45th day, they phone you and say, but we've got this whole list of queries. Please re-invoice us. And that's another 45 days before you get that money. So they are definitely gaming the SABC. We are looking at how we change terms of trade and simply say to the trade, well, you know, within 15 or 21 days, if you haven't notified us of a claim or dispute, we're not accepting the claim or dispute. But right now, we really aren't the best person to do business with. It's a very difficult position to go back and be very aggressive around terms of trade when you aren't providing excellent service. You know, we've in the last 6 months, we've replaced virtually the entire management team in our airtime sales unit. They picked up many difficulties with the billing systems and the credit control management system. So one of the things that was happening, why can't you simply stop supply, was on the sales system where they actually put the ad on air, the managers and the staff were simply overriding the credit control requirements because the system didn't stop you doing it. So although it said, you know what, Mr. Jones can only get 100 rands with the credit, they would sell to 120. That control system is in place on SAP, but unless you've integrated Landmark with SAP, it's not going to work. So currently there's a large piece of work that's been done to integrate those two systems. So there is a control breakdown. We've been aware of it. There is a plan of action to address it. And it is contained in our audit findings in the course of this year. So from a cash flow point of view, because that's what really matters, if you're talking about solvency, we're fine. If you're talking about liquidity, we're not. We are liquid now. At the end of the year, we had 115 million rand in cash left from the billion rand. That has improved quite significantly over the 6 months to the end of September, and we'll take you through those numbers in a moment. That's the key determinant for management right now in running this business. Can we get our cash flows right? That means we have to quite aggressively reduce the costs in the organization. So right now, we are in negotiations with the major sports rights holders, the major international content providers, and the local content providers about actually reducing the costs. So last year we paid 50 rand for it, this year we paid 45. That's a difficult conversation, but they are happening already. So in some cases we've been quite successful, in other cases less so. But, you know, that's not an easy conversation, and hopefully by March we'll be through most of the big ones, because all of those big international acquisitions have run out and they're up for renegotiation. So we're talking to Disney, Warner, Sony, and BBC, the four of our big suppliers. Our trade payables, well, that's what money we owe people. That's clearly come down because we've paid mostly the local production industry and the international content suppliers the money that was due to them. What was the other issue you had? That was the lot.
Mr. Kulwani, Faith Mutambi, and who must I give preference to, Natasha Michaels? Okay.
No, Chair. Thanks, Chair. But maybe, Chair, I must start by saying that we must appreciate the work which has been done by the SABC, the board, the management, the staff, throughout the period of the World Cup. I think we must just acknowledge that we have done sterling work during the World Cup period and so on, so that work does not go unnoticed. And then we deal with these issues which we have presented today. But the second issue that we might also like to have your assistance, Chair, that the annual report is presented now. At one point, we are going to a turnaround strategy. Now, the difficulty is that you might be tempted to raise issues now, whereas when you go to the turnaround strategy, the issues are there. That put us in a very difficult position in terms of how do you construct your question and how do you demarcate your question to be the annual report, then go to the, because the likelihood might repeat something which already has been going to be reported in terms of the turnaround strategy and so on. But let me start about a very simple and a basic question, which I always forget to ask about this question. Why SABC is a group? Because I never heard you reporting about any subsidiaries. But we are a group. We got a group CEO. We are a group. Why are you a group? I always ask my, but it's a basic thing, sir, but I want explanation. How did you get the name being a group? Because don't have subsidiaries, don't have anything. It's unlike post office, got subsidiaries and other things. But we are a group. But one entity is reporting. Where does it come from? Exactly. What is that? If someone can explain that first question, maybe I'll ask after that, further more questions after that explanation. I just don't understand. And you must bear with me, Chair, that my understanding of this thing is also limited. I might be asking a wrong question, but I'm just interested to understand the group part. What a group CEO, a group, when we understand the other group, companies, they've got subsidiaries and so on, but you don't seem to have subsidiaries and other things. But the second issue, Chair, is that these figures about which we have put here, your audience share and so on, you see, that's where, Chair, I'm not sure whether when you come to a turnaround strategy, we are addressing these things which we have put up, which are coming out from the annual report. Because, you see, Chair, I'm raising that issue because if you look at the, maybe let's take the news audience share, it's going down. And that is the basic thing which you should be doing very well, but it's going down. But my apology is that it's covered on your turnaround strategy.
Mr. Kalani, can I suggest that that's a very important matter, that we just defer back that item? Because I think it's about core business. And it's going to be a big discussion from our side, so that we defer all discussion on that until we get to the point. Let us concentrate on the financials and the content of the annual report itself. And your question about the group is of interest to me also, because I've got some follow-up questions on that.
Thanks. I'm indebted to you, Chair. The next question, Chair, I hope it will fit here, not to the next thing. Is that I'm trading on very dangerous ground here. The issue of there is an issue which raised by Honorable Dinang in terms of the payment of staff, and there was linking to that, there was an issue of retention scheme. Chair, I just want, following what Honorable Dilange said, that can we be given the classification of categories which are getting this scheme? Because I think it's linked to the issue of your sketch skill and other related matters. So that we can be able to understand, because the AG pick up that matter when they do engaging on the investigation. But I want to ask in terms of the benefits, because the acting group CEO indicated that about the issue of the amounts which Mr. Honorable Dilange was asking about. But I didn't hear him talking about the retention scheme, whether it's not part of that those amount there. So I didn't hear him saying anything. Because we want to get a separation between the actual salaries and benefit outside this retention scheme and what exactly this scheme is all about, who's getting this benefit for what exactly. Because you'll be surprised, Chair, in other instances, it might be a joke, Chair. You'll find that a clerk is receiving a retention scheme. But when you ask, but what is this case about the clerk and so on? In other companies, I'm not referring to SABC. I'm not sure who's getting that for you. But I'm saying other companies, a simple basic scheme which you can get it at any time has been classified as scale skill. People are getting retention or scale skill bonus. analysis and other things. So we want that list to clarify to us who's getting this and what is scarce about that particular person's need. But here, in terms of the finances, I just want to check whether it's not part of this amount that the Honorable Dilanga was talking about. I think, Chair, most of my issues maybe will fit on the turnaround part, so that I don't waste time now dealing with those issues.
Can I just add to this question about the group concept and or the holding company and subsidiaries? You know, we've been heading the CBC now at least for 2 or 3 years that I've been here. I have not heard of a single subsidiary company that you have ever reported on, or even the names of those companies, either operating in South Africa or established abroad. But I think we want a full disclosure on which are the companies that are being held nationally and internationally, whether those accounts are operational or not, who are the directors of those companies, subsidiary companies, what's the nature of their activities and functions, are they dormant, and if they're dormant, for how long? If it's more than 15 years, why are we still keeping those companies? And are these funds for the siphoning of money and the laundering of money for individuals? I'm asking the question. I see Mr. Nicholson is frowning. I'm just asking the question. Because what are we keeping these companies for if they are not functional and operational? And what interests are they serving? At least in this democracy. Maybe they served an interest prior to 1994. But if they served any interest, we'd like to know also. Faith Mutambi.
Thank you, Chair. As you said, my name is Faith Mutambi. I'm a member of this committee. Mine is on page 113 of the annual report, dealing with the irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Yes. It's reported by the independent auditors that the board didn't do much to prevent irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. If the board has done such, then it might have been not that effective. Now, with regard to the page 11, I see with regard to cases 2 to 10, it's reported that there's no action required. I want the group CEO, acting group CEO, to take us through that one to see what does it mean when you said no action is required, whereas there's this general responsibility in terms of section 51(1)(b) of the Public Finance Management Act. It further says, or the other one says, corrective action. I want the group CEO to also check, to share with us what type of offences were committed, and then what do you mean by corrective action, and then you've indicated also in case one, disciplinary action. What was it all about? Can you take us to our confidence on those aspects?
Who was the first person? Ms. Michael.
Chair, unfortunately, you and me today, we're going to be making Mr. Nicholson frown quite a bit. Chair, I must just follow up on this discounted advertising, because sometimes you shouldn't ask the question if it's not the answer you want to hear. And that was exactly the answer I did not want to hear. Chair, and I say this in light of the fact that we are leading up to an election next year. And as you know, political parties now do a large amount of advertising on our public broadcaster. And I emphasize the word public broadcaster. Chair, and I have to mention this, that the SABC has a history of really not being able to differentiate between the government and the ruling party. And we've just heard that government is a very large advertiser. In fact, Mr. Nicholson, if I'm not mistaken, you said within the top 10. And my very big worry is that the ruling party will be given a great deal of discounting, and then still be given these free advertising slots because of these large amounts of money that are being paid over for the advertising. And Chairperson, I don't think this is even a financial issue. I think this goes to the very heart of democracy, in that it will leave other political parties in a very difficult position, in that they will simply not have the financial capability that the ruling party will have to purchase these large pieces of advertising space. So I'd just like Mr. Nicholson's view on this and how the SABC foresees handling this problem and also ensuring that democracy reigns supreme, you know, on the public broadcaster. And then
sorry, no, just hold on. Can I just say that? Look, sure. Let's not work on hypothetical. I mean, we're getting the annual report for the last financial year. If there's been any discounts to political parties in terms of advertising, let's get that report. But I don't want us to speculate about what might happen in the next election. So can we confine our questions to the annual report itself? I'm not saying it's not an important question.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
It might be, but let's look at the annual report itself.
Okay. Fair enough, Chair. Thank you. Chair, then my second question goes, Mr. Nicholson just told us that they received a clean audit report. Chair, I think the word clean here is being interpreted very, very liberally. We had the report from the Auditor General presented to us last week, Chair, in which many of the members here needed to have a 10-minute break just to recuperate after hearing the results from the Auditor General. 187 million rand was declared to be irregular expenditure within the SABC. So could we have some kind of explanation as to what happened with that 187 million?
Responses from the board?
Okay, a lot of this goes to note 46. Perhaps I can just...
You say you've got a document for note 46.
Is there a copy? No?
No, fine. If you can just give us the disk, we can try and get it copied because that's an important record for us. That could just be copied onto a memory stick and then we'll...
Okay, Chair, we'll do that now.
Thank you.
Why a group? Because the Broadcast Act says it is, I think, is the one thing. The Group CEO, Group Chief Financial Officer, all those titles are contained in the Broadcast Act. There's a little history to it. Quite simply, when the SABC corporatized, we took a look at the funding model, and we said, if we put all of these businesses into subsidiaries, we end up with cash getting locked in one subsidiary, not being made available to another. So very simply, SABC 1 and 2 were positive cash generators, but PBS Radio was not in those days. It used to consume about 60 million rands worth of cash. So instead of creating a subsidiary with PTY Limited entities, the SABC decided to create one economic entity. And that was the Broadcast Amendment Act and all of those things were done, which is why you don't see a lot of subsidiaries. But we do have subsidiaries. We've got three categories of subsidiaries. The first category of subsidiaries is dormant companies. Okay, so those things are like a company called Scania Telematics that used to have a lease for an Obi van, but that's long gone. It was a Scania truck that was put into a subsidiary for some reason or another. Those are the dormant companies. We have disclosed in the annual financial statements all of those things in note 9. Then we've got active subsidiaries, and there is only one in South Africa, and that is Airways Travel, which is a... And all the notes, all of the details about transactions between the SABC and the subsidiary are contained in annual financial statements. The reason for that is that IATA will only issue a license to a separate entity. So IATA wouldn't issue SABC Limited with a license. They wanted it in a travel company, and there were certain requirements around the IATA license, which is why that subsidiary exists at all. It holds a license to issue airline tickets, which, as you know, are cash, and they can be used for money laundering. We are quite cognizant of that risk, and it is quite well controlled and is audited by the external auditors every year. You know, people walk in the door and discount an airline ticket with you, and then they get cash back. So, no, we don't permit those transactions. It's the only active subsidiary in South Africa. In terms of the pre-democratic dispensation, there were two entities offshore. The one is known as Auckland Park Trading, and the other one is a company called Media Trade. Both of them are registered companies in the Netherlands. Media Trade sold certain rights offshore, such as
the series on Shaka Zulu. But it's never been very clear as to who or what the beneficial transaction was around certain of those rights. We know it went through the subsidiary, which is why we've always retained it, because then the SABC keeps its rights open. The other one, Auckland Park Trading, holds an amount of cash offshore. It was used to import capital equipment into the SABC in pre-sanctions days. So and as a consequence of that, there was a tax dispensation where you could hold a certain amount of money offshore, and it's about 7 million now, rand, that is holding, and that's just cash. The directors of those two companies, they don't have directors, but they are public officers, are the GCO and the CFO, which is myself and Solly at the moment. It was myself and Dolly and myself and Peter before that. And we do report that on a monthly basis. So that's the group. The group has got two trading subsidiaries. One is offshore and one is domestic, and the rest are dormant. But we'll give you a write-up on it. It's been asked. It is disclosed in the financial statements. So that's why it's a group. And if you look between group and company,
this point is not for me, because we are not financial people. Where in the financial statements is that indicated? Just for my...
It's note 18, Chair.
Note 18. Okay, fine. That's fine.
And that's on page 94.
Thank you.
So it's got all of the subsidiaries and the related body transactions. So hopefully, Mr. Kwane, that answers your question about why a group. Simply it was the economic model we used, and there are some subsidiaries. The audience share around news, around the turnaround, we leave that for them. The payment of the staff around the retention scheme, our approach to that at the moment is as these staff have a contractual right to their retention payments. As those retentions run out, they are not being renewed. So that is the approach we're taking to dealing with the retention schemes. Yes, it is in, there is a policy that covers it. We'll make that information available to you, Chair. I don't have the policy with me today, but we can make that available to you. It is being actively managed by Human Capital Services.
We don't want the policy. Policy is important. We want the full list of beneficiaries.
Of beneficiaries.
Or the benefits, and why you think it's necessary to keep those benefits. What are the scarce skills that you are trying to retain, and why those benefits should not be scrapped altogether.
Okay, Chair. We'll make that available.
You wish to make it fair enough, okay? Selina?
Chair, the HCS within the group has been having discussions with the turnaround subcommittee on the issue of the retention bonuses. And we have discovered as board members that it is not as easy as retention bonuses. It is a complicated set of facts that are presented all the time. That, for example, at some point, this retention scheme is sometimes used as an attraction for particular skills to SABC. So you find that for some people it's not really a retention, it's what is embedded in the contract when the person is attracted to SABC. So as a result, we then said that the next board meeting will receive a number of views from the subcommittee as to how we can approach the matter, because what we're told by management is that it's not a matter of taking a decision that you scrap it because you might find yourself facing litigation from some people where the conditions are not entirely retention, but they were used to attract them, or they were used to attract them to SABC. Thank you, sir.
Proceed, Mr.
I'm going to get back to note 46, which was the question around fruitless wasteful expenditure, Chair, because it was also raised by two members. But let's first of all deal with this thing about related party transactions. The SABC discloses all of its related party transactions in its financial statements, and those are contained in notes
44, which is a very large and very long note, Chair, where we disclose, in that note you'll see that the transactions with the subsidiaries, how much travel we do with Airwaves Travel and Auckland Park Trading. We also give you how much we receive from the Independent Electoral Commission, aggregate sales to other government entities not listed above was 99 million rand in the course of the year. We paid 23 million rand to the post office. We paid Telkom 44 million. We paid Semtec 497 million. We've paid the receiver revenue 475 million because these are also related parties. And then we, of course, have given, including revenue, of the following amounts. We received from the Department of Education 20 million rand, the Department of Health 17, Foreign Affairs 13, Local Government and Housing 14, the IEC 24, Parliament 19, and then the aggregate of all the other municipalities, provinces, departments, parastatals, and constitutional entities of 140 million rand. So there's a comprehensive list and it is audited, Chair. So the information is in the report in note 44 on page 109 and 110 for members' information.
Mr. Dickerson, can I just say, I mean, I've looked at note 18. It virtually says nothing. I mean, it's an empty shell. There, yes, you have reported, but it's an empty shell. And then I see that you talk of cash held at a foreign bank account of 7 million. This note says 4 million. I really think that we would need a full report, a written report, where you unpack these things. Because, as I said, this has come as completely new information to us, and it is very, very, very skimpy at the moment. So let's agree that we're not going to go into all the details at this stage, but we would want a full, comprehensive report on this issue.
Certainly, Chair. The information is in the report in various places. We'll consolidate it and provide
Thank
a report. If we can just then turn to this question about Note 46, which was losses through irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. In case one, this was the famous case of debt collection agencies that were contracted without a review of the procurement processes. Sorry, Chair, I'm just trying to get it up. In the Audience Services Division, 89.8 million rand, and there's the corrective action that was taken against it. These were the irregular expenditures. We've detailed them all. The 41 million rand. And we're going to be broken down into each division, Chair, so we'll certainly let you have this. I'm just looking for the big one. It's the 40. How far is it?
I thought the question was not so much about the details of the cases and the merits of the cases, because we see there's no action required. Now, these are unusually high amounts. They're going to several million rand, and there's no explanation in your report why no action is required. We assuming that this went to a disciplinary hearing or some sort of a hearing, and then we simply told no action required. Why? That's what we want to clarify. The rest, you'll give us the document with all the details of people, etc.
Yeah, Chair. These ones were, so the first two, for example, case two and three, were production contracts that were signed after the event occurred. So the recommendations have been made by internal audit as to what should be done to prevent that from happening, and they make the recommendation that disciplinary action was not required. So there's corrective action around the control. But this question here is, did you take disciplinary action or not? And we've detailed that. And those are detailed in audit reports which go through the audit committee, Chair, as to why those decisions are made and they're subject to review by the board. I think the other big one was case 10, sorry, Chair, which is the one I'm looking for. What's the number here? Have I passed it?
Yeah,
Yeah, you see, I think
the Terrace Entertainment.
No, I think the question that we really want to know is there a systemic problem with your internal audit committee? Do they have a generally lax approach to these type of things? That you have repeated, I mean, a whole number of cases in one financial year. These are investigated or looked at by your internal audit committee. And all they come up with is that no action is required. Now, I'm not saying it's a cover-up on the part of the, I'm sure there are people who are quite capable and people of integrity, but can we understand why is it that after all of these things, and these are huge amounts here. So a culture is sort of prevalent or being set in there that people do things wrong, and because the policy might not be too clear, so we overlook it. And then life carries on. And that's the problem that we're having. And this is something that the Auditor General's office picked up previously. So if you can't answer, Mr. Nicholson, then I see Mr. Golden has got his hand. I assume he's the chair of the Internal Audit Committee. Maybe he should explain to us what's the approach.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first, in fact, preface my input by saying that the internal audit capacity of the corporation, I think it has got its own challenges, and we are dealing with them in terms of strengthening the capacity. But I should equally also indicate that issues that are brought before the audit committee, I think they are being investigated, dealt with. After the case has been dealt with, it then gets taken to the relevant manager to be able to implement that. I think one of the issues that I think we'll have to be able to look at is what happens after there's been a recommendation by the internal audit processes, whether those particular managers carry through that, because the internal audit does not necessarily take disciplinary action. It refers the report to the relevant manager. So the point that I'm trying to make, Chair, here is that I think that is one area that I think we'll have to be able to look at and say, in an event there hasn't been action, what may have been the constraint? But I must, in fact, emphasize the fact that the audit committee functions proper. It meets regularly. It receives reports. It interrogates them thoroughly. So there is no issue around the audit committee. Secondly, the internal audit system in itself, I did say there are challenges. But we are working hard, in fact, to strengthen it. And there's a hybrid model that we are looking at. Thank you, Chair.
On this issue? All right. Mr. Kolwane, Nsiki, Susan, Faith, Julie, sorry, Nikki. No, I'm sorry, but I know you are the Deputy Shadow Minister. I'm so sorry. Yes, and you are Deputy Shadow Minister. Please forgive me, bear with me. I know you had your hand up. But can we just dispense with this issue so that it doesn't get lost, right, before we move on to anything else? Mr. Kolwane.
In this, 8 members of the ANC in this committee, there are no shadows. We are on our own, as you see us. We are not a shadow of anything. But having said that, Chair, you see, Chair, we've got a problem here. I'm saying, Chair, there is a challenge here. You see, Mr. Golding is explaining what I thought should be the process. Because where you take disciplinary action is not at that point, but it's somewhere else, whether HR and so on. Now, Chair, but my problem, Chair, if you look at this amount and you look at this cause of action which is recommended and you look at the financial position of the SABC, clearly there's no seriousness. Whoever was responsible that at this time, there was no seriousness of dealing with these issues. How I understand maybe the board has started somewhere. It might not be entire their problem. Unfortunately, it's just that you inherit whatever things might be there. But I'm just saying, Chair, there is no cause of seriousness exactly in terms of what is supposed to happen and so on. So, Chair, I would recommend, Chair, that maybe what we need to do
is the chair to get the details of these cases. We might not need the names, just the details of the cases, so that we understand the pattern of the witnesses of the system. You might not include the names. If that might cause a problem, if you put names. But just to understand the pattern and the nature of these cases, because you might find that one and the same thing repeatedly is happening. And in certain cases, it might be, I'm not sure whether are different people or people are repeating the same acts or omissions. It's not clear. So if you can be given from case one to all the cases, the detail of those cases, so that we are able to understand what has been the problem. But like I'm saying, you might have been dealing with on your turnaround strategy, because you still have your turnaround strategy. But it will help us to understand that pattern, how things have been happening, and then maybe if you want to deal it in the turnaround, it's fine. But to understand this thing, because it can be changed. This amount is too huge, but it's too difficult as a BC as a host, if you look what they are dealing with. But chair is too huge. It can be just be left as a matter which we don't look at and so on. That will be my first, my appeal, chair, in terms of how to move forward about this particular issue. The second issue, chair, look, Mr. Nicholson. You see, you're referring me somewhere where there are cash bank and so on. There's no name of a company subsidiary there. That's 18 thing. You're saying cash and cash equivalents, bank balances, call, deposit, and other things. What I'm saying, if you've got a subsidiary, in post office we know this subsidiary, this is how it's performing financially and other things. You can be able to see the subsidiary itself in terms of its performance. But I'm just saying, maybe it's somewhere, but not where you refer me on point 18. It's not there. There is the amount. I don't want the amount. I don't know anything about finances. I need something which will talk to me. That's why I was saying I don't know if this thing. A subsidiary to me is a company which is performing. And you know, I'm shocked because for the first time in my chair, I must confess, to know that you've got companies overseas who are trading or doing whatever. For the first time, it's disclosed today. But it's fine, maybe it's our omission, we have not been reading the report. But for the first time since I've been in this committee, that we understand the matter, that they are whether dormant and so on, somewhere doing whatever. And so, but I'm just saying, if we can get that subsidiary, the chair was requesting, but with the, how are they performing and so on? Exactly. Like you are saying, the board of directors is two people, sometimes they are three. And understand who's the board of directors, where, doing what, and the other things and so on. Because we'll also love to understand what type of corporate governance measures are also applied to those subsidiaries. Because it's not a matter of just telling us about the company. What measures or what controls are those companies having? We have to understand. So this report will tell us. If you serve those companies, you must tell us what are they doing, what controls are there. Which exactly what are they doing and how, who evaluates them, who doing what for them, and all those things. You must know. To say that they are there as we are reporting, hey, it's a problem, and this thing has put us in problem in the past. This thing of just accepting reports without clear documentation of things and so on. So we need that into details, Chair. It might not be today, but we need that, Chair, so that whenever you come back or you can forward those documents, we must be told exactly what is happening about this thing so that we are able to start to engage about this thing. But, Chair, my apologies, it's part of your turnaround strategy. Maybe I'm still going to raise it. We'll engage if it comes out at that point. But for now, Chair, really, maybe I'll just take the position you've taken that we get the information, we don't engage on the issue. Then next time when we get the information, we start to engage on the matter and so on. But really, it does not help just to run through issues without going to details. We are not there full-time. We don't understand what is happening on daily basis. Thank you.
Can I just indicate, I think, that fresh tea and coffee available. Do you want to adjourn for 5 or 10 minutes, or do we allow members? Yeah, because I see there's a lot of hands here, and I know that if we take all of those, it's going to take quite some time. So...
You want to adjourn for a few minutes? My apologies. All right, can we adjourn, and we will reconvene at 20 to 12. Ms. Magazi, you are the next person, Susan and Faith, and Nikki. Next round. No, next round, Mastori. You had your hand down. All right, then Susie will hand over, will allow you to speak before. Ms. Magazi.
And in the report, that was handed over to the SABC. And I think the question needs to also emanate from the analysis of the auditor, auditor general. There were issues of mismanagement, issues of financial management, and these issues, Chairperson, the executive authority, that report was not handed, or the executive authority was not informed about these issues. The Treasurer General's office was also not informed about this issue. And the question is, Chairperson, why this was not done by the board, because that board left the report, and the expectation was that that work, it will continue, but those officers were not informed by the board. Can I get the clarity, Chairperson, or the reason why the executive authority was not informed, the office of the Treasurer General, National Treasurer General, was not informed? Can we get the reason why that happened? Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, you know, really, I think all the entities that come here, Chairperson, can you pay attention to me? By now, they know that I'm always treated like a shadow, because I'm always complaining, you forget me. I'm here to stay, Chairperson, another 5 years. Don't worry.
No, we're very proud of you and wish you well for the next 5 years.
Chairperson, I wanted to slot this in because I think it's related to what has been asked about note 46. On note 43 also, it states indicates legal proceedings, and it's on 108. I just wanted to ask a question from the SABC, whether these unforeseen expenditures which led to the SABC's failure to meet the performance target as set by the National Treasury, whether these offer the proper planning of cooperation, or whether this failure really has been, have you made any strategy on this? You know, on this note 43, it states a whole lot of issues and where the SABC has to address issues of performance targets. And I would like to know whether, what are the implications of the failure to do so, or whether the operations and on the ability to repay this fund that the agreement that has been entered to with the NetBank, what is being done, you know, about it. Thank you.
Susan?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Firstly, that in fact, I was partly covered by Comrade Honorable Eric Kolwane, but I'm not yet convinced in regard to the response by Mr. Golding on the issue, because the issues raised by Comrade Mudambi, further added by Mr. Story just now, are issues of compliance and discipline. But if there's no action in those issues, that means there's a problem. And secondly, I just want to check that did the audit committee comment and reviewed the current audit issues. And so, firstly, again on the audit committee, in regard to the audit plan. Well, if we have the audit plan, I went through the, I think it's page 64 something. There's something about the audit plan. The audit plan that we have, was it approved by the audit committee itself? Thank you, Commissioner.
It's our concern on the issue of non-compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. The audit report has raised a lot of issues. The contravention of the Act, the Public Finance Management Act, and then one would still again want to emphasize that that's the duty of the board to prevent irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. And it seems as if there's no appetite to deal with that, given the report on page 113. So, Chairperson, it's an area of concern. Also, like there are instances of premature procurement that have been reported where people will enter into contracts, order material in advance, and then action has not been taken. We want to be taken on board. What is it done to prevent this procurement misconduct and all these other things? So on the other issue, if you read page 59, like my colleague has indicated, page 59 is the report of the audit committee. I want to check from the chairperson of the audit committee whether he can assure this committee whether indeed he can safely say that they have satisfied their duties as the audit committee. Because if you look at the audit report, it indicates a lot of things that has not been done by the audit committee. So basically that is, I was very happy when I was reading this annual report on the remarks by the chairperson to say that the board has got competent and experienced people, but why do we then allow such a status quo to remain now, given the circumstances that the board is comprised of all people with various expertise? That's the rest of my question.
Thank you, Chairperson. Whether the acting CEO can inform this committee, the whole issue around broadcasting spots, advertisements, a client buy airtime because the SABC tell them they are 3 million viewers, and according to that, the client pay the SABC a certain amount of money. What's the track record of broadcasting the advertisements timelessly on the correct time that the people bought that airtime from the SABC? And if I'm not mistaken, the SABC has to compensate 1.5 times or 2 times if that agreement with the client has not been met. Can you give us a sort of a monetary figure what the SABC actually lost, for instance, over the past financial year in that compensation? Thank you, Jefferson.
Can I ask also, just added to that question, if you don't advertise on the scheduled times, have you been giving cash discounts or refunds to the clients? And why?
Some of these questions I appreciate, but I think should be answered by the board, particularly the question from Ms. McCarthy around what did the board do with the handover report from the interim board, and why was that not given to the executive authority? I think that's a question perhaps we should ask the board. I'm not able to answer that, Chair, because it was a board turnaround planning unit task team responsibility and accountability. So perhaps the chair can direct a member of the board to answer that question. But I'll try and answer all the other questions. But, note 43,
maybe let's clarify one thing. It can be, Chair. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Nicholson is part of the board. So I don't know when you say direct to the board, what does that mean? Because my understanding is that you are part of the board. But I'm saying the drawing of line between yourself and the board, I think is problematic. Unless if you are saying you're not in position to respond yourself, maybe someone else within the board members will respond, but not say the board, as if we are not part of the board, unless you are a board member when you wish to. At one point, you move out of being a board member and so on. I just don't understand that. Maybe.
No, can we accept that you are a member of the board?
Yeah, Chair, sorry.
Somebody else on the board might want to answer that question.
Yeah, Chair, perhaps can I just explain? I mean, Mr. Kulweni's right, sorry, and I apologize if I created the wrong impression. This was handed over to the TPU, which is a part of the board, to deal with, and perhaps those members can deal more efficiently and more fully than I can. But, Chair, I don't know if you want to stop there and deal with the question, or should I deal with other questions first? Thank you, Chair. Note 43, which was the question we were asked around the contingencies. Some of these matters have been dealt with. The Trustco matter has been dealt with completely. The SARS treatment on intellectual property rights, we raised this with SARS at the time of corporatization. They are estimating what that liability is. We think that liability is 37 million rand and has been provided for in the accounts. The Sampra dispute, I think is well known. It's the famous needle time case. The SABC is providing what we think we owe, and hopefully when that's resolved, we will make the payment to date. The PIC, we are in discussion with National Treasury and the PRC on how to resolve that matter with the help of the DRC. That's the issue around that. If I can just refer, I'm sorry, I didn't catch the member's name. You referred to as Susan, so Miss Susan. Sebe, Miss Sebe. I think we perhaps should leave that question to the chairperson of the audit committee to answer, Chair. And then to deal with the question from the DA. I'm sorry, I didn't keep track of who asked the question. The question around broadcast spots, time estimate and compensation, I think that was my ex-colleague who asked this question. I don't know exactly how much compensation we had to give in the last year. I would be lying to Parliament if I said it was 1 rand or it was 100 million rand. Generally, the compensation takes place in other available inventory, so we don't lose the sale. So if someone says to you, look, you know, younger spot, we're going to pay 20,000 rand for it, and we fail to broadcast it, we will normally reschedule it and keep the money. To your question, Chair, when don't we get it, and when do we give a cash discount and a refund? I think perhaps we can explain it best in an example. Let's say that you are Pick and Pay. If you're advertising, come to Pick and Pay and do your shopping, we fail to broadcast that ad, but we can broadcast that ad later and your message still gets across, come to Pick and Pay to do the shopping. If Pick and Pay were to say, come to shop at Ferry Glen on Friday because we've got a special on fresh milk, and we fail to broadcast that ad, they've got a direct loss because on Friday people didn't arrive to buy the milk. And in those kinds of circumstances, they would normally ask for a cash refund. Our terms and conditions indemnify us from loss of not broadcasting an ad because a lot can go wrong in broadcast chains. And we don't accept the risk that because they've not got stuck with milk, we must pay them more money. So we don't give them money if we haven't broadcast the ad. But we might refund those kinds of what are called tactical campaigns. So it's a call to action. You know, we all know that very well from come to Verimark and buy your broom ad, you know, and you'll get, and that's not all. That kind of call to action, you must come and get it. If we just broadcast those, then normally we would be faced with a claim for cash refunds. But in most cases, we are able to move this compensation across, and yes, you're quite right. It is normally 1.5 to 2 times the value of the mistake we make. We are working quite hard around that. That comes back to the integrity of our landmark and our direct broadcast systems. To actually measure and track these things. For the first time in the last couple of years, we know to track things like discounts and settlement discounts. So
So the information systems are being developed. I think you could probably get this information at station by station level, but it's not readily available to me, and I certainly wasn't prepared for that question here. I can undertake to go back and try and get that information, Chair. But I don't have it with me, I'm afraid.
Recording, you and Johanna.
Sure. Just a few remarks. That's in fact one I'd like to make. I think I just want to say that one of the difficulties, in fact, in this particular discussion is that we are looking at a financial year ending in March. And we are interrogating those particular imperatives, but also referring it to date. I think that is a bit of a difficulty because I think in the report that I think would have been presented, there is till financial year end to March, but also post-March till to date. I think that is, in fact, a difficulty that is one finding. So you find yourself answering questions till end of March, whereas you are expected to answer till to date. I think that is one area, Chair, that in fact, one is finding it a bit difficult, in fact, to deal with this. I think you will be able to give us direction in terms of how do we deal with that, whether we have we take the other reports so that we can be able to have a picture to date. But coming back to the question that has been asked by the colleagues, is that the colleagues have been asking whether the internal audit, whether the audit processes in the SABC are working well. My answer is yes, the audit committee of the SABC is working well. What we have done is that we even went to an extent of also attracting three other professionals with specific skills which were not originally in the board so that we can be able to bolster capacity. So what does an audit committee do? An audit committee, in classically, it will monitor your internal controls in the corporation. It will ensure that there is oversight on financial accountability and accounting. It will, in fact, ensure that it liaises with the external auditors in terms of doing the work. Are we doing that? The answer is yes. Now, the issue is, if colleagues also, the honorable members of parliament, would also like to make reference to the particular report, I will request them, Chair, also to look at page number 67 as well. Page number 67, particularly around issues of the investigation that has been done to date. It reads as follows. Following the investigation performed by the Auditor General, the Special Investigating Unit has commenced with various investigations. So the long and the short of it, Chair, is that at that particular time, year-end March 2010, we had already identified cases that were naturally part of the audit processes, but also cases that were in fact raised by the Auditor General. And those particular cases are being dealt with by the Audit Committee, but also by the Turnaround Committee. What has happened is that to date, the matters in fact have been referred to SIU. We are in fact just awaiting from the proclamation, from the President. But I should indicate and give confidence to the members that investigations are far in advance. And I think my colleague, Mr. Gina, will actually be able to augment some of the activities before because he chairs the turnaround committee. But investigations are advanced in terms of people who have breached policy, in terms of people who have been found to have transgressed, or people who have been found to have performed illegally. So those particular investigations are far in advance. So the long and the short of it, Chair, is that there is, in fact, a lot of work that is being done by the audit committee together with the other sister committees in the organization, and actions are being taken. I know in the report it says that no action has been taken because at that particular time, the board was just new. It had only been in office for 3 months. But to date, my indication is that action has been taken both within the internal process of the audit committee as well as by the SIU as well. Thank you very much, Chair.
All right. One minute. Ms. Tebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think what Honorable Mr. Golding has said, we do understand it, but unfortunately it's not their report. It's the independent auditor's report. So we are saying, as the, I think according to this page 59, the audit committee of the SABC has made comments. We are saying, this comment is just shallow. All these issues that he is raising now, maybe should have been part of this report. Maybe we'll have understood better.
Okay, Mr. Sadigina.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I just want to add on the SIU investigation, because I think it will really be unfair to this board that we have not acted on the transgressions that have been raised. I'll just cite, for example, that when we call the SIU, we're just calling them for the last financial year only. And then after their preliminary investigation, they came back to the board and said that the things are sophisticated at SABC and they want the board to approve that they go back as 2005. And the board considered that, the chairperson wrote a letter to them authorizing them that in their proclamation they should apply to go back as far as 2005 in terms of what has been happening in SABC. So as we speak, we must thank the shareholder who has supported us in terms of committing to assist, because the SIU is also using external specialists in their investigation. So it was going to be a cost. We went to the shareholder with the chairperson. The shareholder said, yes, the department will make sure that you go to the bottom of the rot that has been happening in SABC. And the Department of Justice has signed the letter in terms of the process of the SIU. The shareholder has written a letter to the president supporting the SIU investigation. What is remaining is for the presidency to sign the proclamation, which does not mean that the SIU has not done work. They are actually ready. Next week in the board meeting, SIU is ready to come with a report. They say this is how much we've gone. They have gone to the Commercial Crimes Unit. They have revived many cases, some of them that were withdrawn in the case of law, which are ready to go to court. So there is a lot that has happened in terms of the SIU, and we think that as a board, inviting SIU was one of the best decisions that we have taken, because the things were just not easy for an ordinary person to see, because, as I said, there are systems that are involved, and they were so sophisticated. On the issue of the disciplinary processes, which the issues that were raised, we, as a turnaround subcommittee, we are happy with what the SCS department, led by Mampumelele, has done in terms of a number of disciplinaries that were not progressing within time. We have been able to deal with the backlog. They have been able to put more effort in dealing with the backlog, mindful of challenges of a very outdated disciplinary process in SABC, where for every hearing there must be a chair and there must be two assessors. I mean, there's no way in organizations where you need a chairperson and another two people. And remember, those people are people that are senior managers, they've got jobs to do, so they're not always available. And we have agreed with the department, HR department, that that's one of the things that they are working on now in terms of developing a policy that will be able to expedite disciplinary processes, because the current one is really not conducive to quick resolving of matters. So, and the other thing that the board has done was that initially when the subcommittees of the board were appointed, there was one audit and risk subcommittee. And in their first meeting as the audit and risk subcommittee, they said, because of the challenges that are in SABC that we are seeing raised by the AGSA report and everything, they feel that there should be a separation of the audit and risk subcommittee. Hence, then, Mr. Golden is the chair of the audit committee, and Mr. Harris is the chair of the risk committee, because there were many risk issues that needed a dedicated attention by a specific subcommittee, which has happened. They came back to the board approved and said, yes, we think that we agree with you. In order that we have focus on risk, let's have a specific subcommittee that deals with risk, and then let audit deal with audit issues. And I think that that is one of the good decisions that the board has also taken, to show that we are serious about the challenges that we have encountered at SABC. Thank you very much.
Members, I want to bring this to a close. Two hands. Can I say these are the last two, and then we take the next presentation. And Siki, you still want to come in? All right. Johnny DeLange, Julie Killian, and Ms. Magazi.
We're going to receive your turnaround. strategy just now, and to do so, one of the issues we have to take into consideration to see how good your turnaround strategy is to know what your finances are. Now, I asked you earlier to try and give me the picture that I can see when you give me your turnaround strategy, what it is you're trying to turn around. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. So I'm going to put you in my words, and then you tell me if I'm wrong, and if I'm wrong, you correct me. As I understand it, when you came here last time, you told us there was huge meltdown on your finances. You had huge problems, particularly because of advertising revenue being less, and I would suggest huge mismanagement. Then, as I understand it, you get a government guarantee, and you get R1 billion from the bank. You put that in your coffers. And despite that and whatever other money you've collected and you've made since you came and give inputs here, according to your summary of results, you still have a deficit of 486 million, almost $500 million. Now, is that your finances at the moment? That after all the problems, putting a whole R1 billion, that you still have R500 million deficit? The second thing we need to know, because that is the big problem the auditors have pointed out, what is your liquidity? I mean, you know, has that changed? To what extent is, I mean, you've got R1 billion that you've now used to sort out things. What is the liquidity situation? So around your finances, that picture we have to have before we do the turnaround strategy, try and give us the big ballpark issues, the figures that we can understand what we're going to look at in the turnaround strategy. The second issue is your response about the, is it the defined benefits, the 200 million. I want to understand you correctly. When this budget is drawn up, you provide 25 million for these defined benefits. There's a court case pending, and I assume from your answer you were opposing that you should pay all or some of these benefits. Then you are told, no, your legal fees are going to cost so much, rather settle the matter. You then settle the matter on the basis of accepting that these people have those rights and that you're going to pay 180 million. I assume that it's 180 million a year, because if it's a defined benefit, that you've now included a further 180 million to your benefits. Now, I don't know who your lawyers are, and I don't know what they charge. But if you had to stop this case because they were going to charge too much, and you've now incurred a liability in perpetuity of 180 million, these people must be charging astronomical fees, if that's the reason for it. Because I cannot see that a company will accept that they are going to, for people that are now leaving and are not producing anything anymore, that you're going to accept 180 million future liability every year, when you actually had a basis originally to oppose this matter, that they shouldn't be entitled to these benefits. So I think you really, really explained this issue to us. Lack of understanding that one, of course, does settle certain court cases certain times. But you see, I have a big problem. If you are telling me that the people that are there now, that it's a benefit you're giving, I can try and understand it. But if you're saying it's people that are leaving, that are not going to give you a service anymore, and that is who you're going to incur that benefit in perpetuity, I have huge problems, and I think you should explain to us how we've incurred that debt for a long time to come. Then just smaller issues. Look, you know, when I look at you pointed us again to these staff salaries. In fact, when you point me to it, you shouldn't do it because it just scares me even more. I mean, on page 111, 112, for about approximately 20 of your top executives, you paid out 46 million in that year. This year now, it is 36, almost 37 million. You're paying out to your top executives. The problem I have is that I really need you to explain to us, at least from 2007, who said there must be increases. If it was the board, then tell us. Show us where the board has done so, and how much, and what percentages.
If you look at this, it's a typical salary package being shuffled all the time. I mean, you get this package, you look at this, you say the contribution to pensions. Last year it was huge contributions. In some instances, a quarter of a million rand being paid into medical aid and into pensions and so on. This year it comes down to 100,000. So it's 150,000 different this year from next year. All of us know. I mean, we MPs definitely know with our little salary. I mean, just tell you that most of you get a salary about 6 to 7 times more than an ordinary MP gets, by the way. But we know that every year your medical aid, your pension stays or grows slightly. It goes upwards. What is this? So someone must come and explain. Of course, don't even come and explain this bonus to me. I mean, why on earth the senior management of the SABC got a bonus in the previous year? It would be very difficult to come and explain. And who decided that? I mean, we really need a three million something bonus for the senior management, which was a company, as you remember, Chair, which was basically collapsing at that stage. They were giving themselves bonuses. So I really think, I don't want to hear general answers about this. I would want to suggest, Chair, that a separate report is done on these salaries for top management, even new ones that have come in, that we can look at about from 2007, what has been happening with these salaries. You will remember in the last time, the reasons they know why we're asking this, because last time these issues were raised very strongly as one of the reasons for the problems in the SABC and the over-expenditure. So this whole issue of how this and what their salaries are and why one year they will get this and the next year it would be completely different, it needs to be explained to us. I mean, you know, so that we can understand what on earth is being done or whether this is a clever sleight of hand to make sure that you can still get your salary increases every year, but you put it in different places and so on. So I think we need a full report on that, and I would insist. At this stage, I in the beginning said also middle management. But let's wait for that. Let's just do the senior management that is here. I think also you need to tell us what is the interest you're having to pay on that 1 billion, so that we've got it on record, that we can see and follow this, that we're paying, so that we can see what is the damage we're doing every year. The issue of the disciplinary stuff has been raised. Then just a small question. Will you just explain to me, you know, your big problem for your cash problems was losing advertising revenue. Now, I look at these charts here, and I must say I'm not the brightest fellow around, so I may be completely wrong. As one would say, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But you see, on these pictures you showed us, it shows something different. It doesn't show, I think you said it's a 4% decline in advertising revenue. Now, there's something that's not gelling. I mean, if the huge collapse in the finances was advertising revenue, then just explain these so I can understand them, these charts for me where you said it was only a 4% decrease. Clearly, if you've got huge financial losses, one would expect 20, 30, 40% decrease in revenue. And these are showing at a 4. But can I just say, Chair, my most important question is, before we go to this turnaround strategy, try and give that picture to us that we understand what we're looking at, what we're turning around.
You're absolutely right, and it's a useful lead. Before we break for lunch, we want the financial, what you call it? What's the word? Mr. Nichols? Yes, here today, the current financial position of the company. There is a presentation that's supposed to be done, but we want it before we go for lunch. All right, there's Ms. Killian, quickly now, quickly, Ms. Mugazi and Ms. Tori, quickly. That will be last. I'm not taking any more hands now on this issue.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I have actually listed some of the issues that Honourable DeLonga has raised, so I will refrain from scratching any further there. Safe to say the following. You see, if we look at the turnaround strategy, which we will get to later, one of the critical elements is the ratio or the relationship between the executive management and the board. And what is of a concern is exactly compensation listed, as we see, and increases and bonuses and everything, which is giving the impression that we have a situation at the SABC where the tail is wagging the dog. And the concern that I have is it speaks to accountability, or lack thereof, and it speaks to resistance from management, possibly, to measures that board members who have a fiduciary responsibility carry. And I just want to list or to point the attention of some of the members on page 111, which speaks to that. If we look at the national service that is effectively done, even by the board chairperson, the interim board chairperson, who did all of the work and who effectively worked full-time for 4 months to assist the SABC to regain and to rebuild its integrity. I think the time has come for us to salute the board members and to support them, all of them. But to say this is at the core of some of the problems at the SABC, and we must be upfront about it, because it's not only in this entity, it is across the board in all state-owned entities. So I just want to make that point. But the second thing is that I want to question is very serious allegations have been made against some board members who have abused their position. Now, if I look at page 111, I notice that there is an allocation of legal services of 180,000 rand. Now, can I understand, is that in any way related to the Sport 5 negotiated settlement, where Mr. Nicholson has indicated to us that an amount of 400 million was to have been the commitment that the SABC had to pay over several years, and that the settlement amount is 27 million. Can we just get clarity on that? So therefore, if the amount was spent, it makes actually probably a good financial sense. But then I would like to know, and that points me to another section of the annual report, and that is, was it done procedurally correct? Was it done in a meeting? Was it done according to the book? Because I have a major concern about what KPMG and other chartered accountants have said in their report, which is from page 64 running to page 67. And that chair is report on other legal and regulatory requirements. And you see, unless we get these things right, we're not going to get a proper turnaround strategy. Here the annual report points to only 50% of performance targets have measurable, quantifiable sort of assessment criteria. And unless we get this right, if it's all nice and vague and it's we're all good friends, etc., and let us cover this one up for you, and then next time around you can cover that one up for us, etc., then we're not going to turn the SABC around. And the SABC has a public has a mandate to serve the public. And therefore, we must make sure that we get value for money of the public who contribute to license fees. So I wanted to make the point that there are very many serious comments made in this section. And I think we need to have feedback. What is the SABC doing to improve performance information so that they can present that to the board, so that the board can evaluate performance against set targets that would be measurable? Because we know and understand that there's a toss, you know, that they are interfering, but no board can function effectively without information. And that is the function of the executive management. So and then the last issue, and that brings us back to the question of discipline. You see, unless there's consequence for transgressing regulatory requirements, unless there's consequence for that, and it starts right at the board level, unless there's consequence for failing to do what they're supposed to do, if they're supposed to declare their interests and they don't do that, there must be consequence. That is the board member. If there's not consequence for people who simply ignore the delegated DAF, Delegated Authority Framework. For instance, the Special Investigations Unit, will they not also have to cover the period where we are at this stage. Because my information is that we have the head of the 2010 sports project that have transgressed. He had the right to sell airtime at R1 million, and he did so to a friend. He offered R26 million of airtime. Is there disciplinary action? Is there an immediate investigation? What are we doing about it? And I just want to suggest that we actually create, together with the audit committee, it's still a little vague, the disciplinary committee, there must be a proper coordination between the chief people officer, yes, the turnaround committee, but I don't know if it really belongs there. But discipline and respect for procedures and processes must become the tone. If we look at the Auditor General report, the concern is about the tone at the top, where leadership is not leading with the right approach to accountability. Thank you.
Ms. Magazi and Ms. Turi.
Chair, my question will emanate from the AG comments. Chairperson, the audit committee of the SAPC did not approve the internal audit plan of the SAPC. And the question is, why did the audit committee not approve the internal plan of the internal audit plan of the SAPC? Well, there is any reason why they did not approve that. If there are any reasons, can you please tell us? Because our expectation is that you have the management that is leading SAPC, and therefore you will expect that the fiduciary duties are being exercised accordingly. Can you get the
reason?
Chairperson, I can see you very fast now with us, Nancy, and you left the other lady to finish. Chairperson, I just want to raise what is contained in the AG's report here on the compliance of the SABC with the sections of the public finance management, which appears on this annual report on page 64, or the disclosure of interest of members that are in the board, whether they have disclosed, because it doesn't appear on the AG's report. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Can we have some quick, sharp responses? Because I want to get on to the next presentation. Mr. Nicholson, Mr. Golding.
Yeah, just quickly, let me in fact indicate that the audit plan was presented for approval in March 2010. But let me also emphasize that it is in fact the value offering of the audit committee, I think, and the broader ethos of the board, that SABC will not tolerate any form of graft. That's why we are taking drastic actions, both from the internal audit process, but also inviting the SIU, that people who transgress the policies of the SABC will face the consequences. And we should underline and indicate, Chair, that people, as a result of the SIU process, who will actually be found to have transgressed, they will either repay the SABC or they will go to jail. We want to indicate that today, that the tone of the audit committee is very clear, that the SABC will be a value-based organization. And I think it will take time before we begin to see the results. The costs are going to be very high, but we're very determined to doing it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to address the one issue that was raised by the honourable member in relation to the payment for legal fees, and as to whether that was in relation to Sport 5. I'll just very briefly give you the context. When the board took office in January, one of the urgent issues that we had to deal with was that the SABC was being sued for 42.2 million euros. That's 455,000 rand, plus technical fees of over 7 million euros, 75,000 rand. The litigation arose from a contract the SABC had signed in June 2008 for the AFCON soccer rights. At one of the first board meetings, I was requested by the chairman and the board to advise in a legal capacity and to oversee a series of complex negotiations which would attempt to resolve this matter. I was reluctant to do so, but was finally persuaded to give professional advice on this particular matter. And there were a complex series of circumstances that had led up to that, which I won't necessarily go into now. It was agreed that I would be separately reimbursed for my time, as this was a complex matter with huge financial consequences for the SABC, and they were using my professional services as a lawyer on an extended basis. I examined the case material files of this matter, and after numerous meetings, arrived at a strategy with the CEO, Solly Mokwetla, and the legal firm representing the SABC. At all times, I kept the board informed, and I worked exceptionally hard on the case. It culminated in me traveling to Paris with the CEO and the SABC lawyer, and over a period of days, reaching a settlement with Sport 5. The settlement included Sport 5 withdrawing their legal action, and the SABC paying an amount of 7.1 million euros. As fair payment for the last two screenings, 2008-2010. There was an additional penalty that the SABC would pay of 2.5 million euros if new negotiations failed in relation to the rights going forward. That's the 27 million that you see as that item. The talks I led in Paris culminated in a settlement representing a saving for the SABC of over 300 million rand. I informed the chairman on the night that we were successful, and he was delighted, as was the rest of the board. Thereafter, I continued to advise on the settlement agreement, and I then reported back to the board. On the 25th of February, I duly submitted my bill to the company secretary and the CFO, who's also a board member, and who was present when the board asked me to assist, and it was agreed that I would be paid. I was paid 140,000 rand after tax. My invoice detailed the work done on an hourly basis and exactly described the nature of the legal work undertaken in that time. Other board members will confirm this. It should be noted that the legal fee paid to me was fully audited by the external auditors, who had no problem with it, and detailed the fee to me under director's remuneration on page 111 of the annual report. You will note that it is described as legal services rendered to the board. There's nothing underhand or secretive about this. It was audited and detailed as fees. Since then, I've given an enormous amount of legal advice to the SABC, for which I have not been paid, as the mandate of the board was specific to the Sport 5 matter. I can assure you that I'm not on the SABC board for the money, and I've spent hundreds of hours on SABC board issues over the last 10 months and have not received a cent for my time. I have at all times acted with integrity on this board and will continue to do so.
Wait a minute.
Mr. Nicholson, can you respond to the rest of the question?
Thank you. Mr. DeLonga, the settlement of the matter, the annual charge is about 60 million rand, not 180. That was the once-off settlement fee to bring up the actuarial liability up to the full amount on the balance sheet. We had already lost two court cases over a period of 4 years. And when we had an independent review of both of those judgments by completely new senior counsel, who were both very experienced in these matters, both advised that given the judgments in the Coop case, the likelihood of success against the pensioner group was remote. That was the word two separate legal counsels provided us. When the board came in, they reviewed it completely. They had took separate advice on the issue. They discussed with the actuaries and said, you know what, if it is remote, why are we continuing to fight this case and throw good money after bad? And that was the decision that led to the settlement. We had provided for a large part of that settlement as early as 2006, but we had to provide for the difference between what we provided in 2006 and again in 2000,
and 10, which was not considered when the government guarantee application was made. So yes, for people who have worked at the SABC for 15 or 20 years, they continue to be paid by the SABC for their medical aid after they retire. And that's just what their legal rights are. We have tried very hard to get out of that obligation. We had litigated quite extensively, and we had continuously lost the cases. On the staff salaries, Chair, we'll provide a full report on that. Chair, we'll provide a full report on that. I think Mr. DeLong had already previously asked that question. On the interest, it's 8.7% per annum. So JIBAR, the Johannesburg Interbank Lending Rate, that works at about 87 million rand a year on the current borrowings of a billion rand. Ms. Killian's question around compensation, I think Mr. Harris has answered. In respect to the Soccer World Cup, I think there's been a lot of confusion around this issue. We have tried to clarify it with respect to the individual's relationship with the SABC. This is not about the Sandton Convention Centre. That transaction was reviewed by the board, and it was done in a trade exchange with the individuals who had the rights to that. Which trade exchange they will claim from the SABC over the next 2 years. This was a separate transaction where certain public viewing areas were put in place. The SABC entered into a contract with the service provider to provide the big screens, the sound stages and the like. There were two separate events, the one for 7 million rand, the other one for 18 million rand. The 18 million rand, we've concluded the internal investigation. The individual has been suspended for the following reasons. There was no budget for the 18 million rand. He did not get board approval for the 18 million rand. We have not paid the 18 million rand. It will be in dispute with that service provider. And I don't want to go into who that is or how that might unfold because we're currently in that process. The second 7 million rand issue is currently under investigation by internal auditors. We are awaiting their report on Thursday at the group executive because that's where these actions have been taken. So we have certainly changed the process. It doesn't take us 6 months to get around to the issue. We have asked management rather to respond rather than relying on a slow internal audit process in order to deal with the issue going further. Is that it, Chair? Have I missed anybody's questions?
Chairman?
I'll give you a chance now, Mr. Harris.
Chair, I think I've answered all the questions. I'm sorry if I've missed anybody's.
Okay. Mr. Gina?
Chair, I just want to talk a bit on what Mr. DeLanga has raised. And I recognize that he's a lawyer himself. That as a board, we as the CFO has already explained that we received extensive advice on the matter. But it should be clarified here that many organizations in this country or elsewhere in the world have moved away from defined benefits to defined contributions, which becomes a strategic decision for a corporation to make. And when we came to SABC, we discovered that SABC is still using the defined benefits strategy, which in my view, is a strategy that has been left by many companies because of the similar challenges. So I just want that context to be there if Mr. DeLanga and other honorable members pose this question that we were faced with a situation where we're currently saying, going forward, the board must discuss whether we should continue with defined benefits or we should move to defined contributions, as many other organizations have moved, because of the risk that are associated with the defined benefits. SABC is an old corporation. They are old staff members. You all know that when the Pension Fund Act was promulgated in this country and people were allowed to move from defined benefits to defined contributions, in particular, all the employees did not want to move. So you would imagine that even in SABC, it never became obligatory for employees in any corporation to be forcefully move from defined benefits to defined contribution. So I think that context is also important, that it is possible that even if SABC tomorrow can say we're moving away from defined benefits to defined contribution, there will be those employees who will opt to remain under the scheme on defined benefits. I think that is important. But also in this country, there is an LRA, the Labor Relations Act, which you as this house, you are custodians of that. And a decision was taken, which in our view as in this new board, when we looked at it, we felt that due process in terms of the LRA processes were not followed in terms of consulting those workers and everything. As a result, we agreed with the senior counsel advice that we had a weak case. I'm just concerned about one thing, Chairperson. I hear Honorable Killian is raising a matter about a discipline of an SABC employee who is not even at the level of a GE. I mean, as board, we understand clearly where our responsibilities end in terms of the discipline of employees and their appointment. And as to how, because that matter has not been even reported in the media, as to how the honorable member got that information about an employee who's being disciplined at that level, I don't know. And I don't know whether maybe honorable members do secret investigations into what is happening in SABC. Thank you, sir.
Just in relation to the issue on this case that the Honourable Mr. De Lange raised, this came to us, I think, sometime in February. It was a matter which the board inherited about a month after it took office. And it was litigation that had been going for quite a long time, and I did get someone involved in assisting in that process as well. But quite simply, this was litigation which the board or the corporation should never have defended in the first place. The case against the board was exceptionally strong. We should never have defended it, and our lawyers should have told us that a long time before it got to the state at which it was raised by with the board. In fact, 4 days before this matter was due to go to trial, the senior counsel involved said to the chief legal advisor of the SABC, "Our case is weak. We're advising you to settle." We reviewed the matter and agreed that, in fact, we should never have defended this thing in the first place. But we inherited it as a board and came to that decision. So it wasn't just about the costs. That there is a form of investigation taking place there, yes.
Can I raise a concern here? Mr. Nicholson has not responded to my question.
It's not completed. Are you completed?
No. The question on compliance to CFMA.
His hands and go, please.
Yes, Chair, I apologize to the shadow member. There was a report to the board as to which member of the SABC board had not disclosed their interest. I'm not sure if we should make that information publicly available, Chair, but there was, and this committee has taken action against the individuals. Already. The usefulness and reliability of information, Ms. Killian. Sorry, member, that's the best I can do. You know, the individual was a very senior member of the board. Ms. Killian's question about usefulness and reliability of information. This report is the start of the reporting against the Auditor General's new requirement for reporting against performance standards. What the SABC had done in the past was it sets goals and objectives for executives and individual business units. And that results in
in terms of the standard that AG applies to us, to 277 audit objectives that were audited, and we found that they didn't comply with the way and format that the AG wanted. We are in the process of addressing that now. There will be changes to our corporate plan as a consequence in the way that these objectives are worded, and that the objectives will be more tightly set and measured going forward. So this was a consequence of the AG's change in the auditing standard that led to this comment. There is a meeting with Scopa next week, Chair, in which we'll be presenting the outcomes and consequences for each one of these statements of non-compliance with laws and regulations and what that process is. I will certainly copy the committee on that submission.
You might want to send the person there outside and observe.
Try, Chair. So we can move forward to that. Then the other one, I must apologize, Mr. DeLange, on the 4%. I wasn't ignoring you, sir. The meltdown happened in the 2008-2009 financial year. There was a further fall of 4% last year. So the decline has continued on our advertising revenue, which is why the year-on-year, it was a further 4% decline. And the year before that, it had declined as well, which is why that line in the graph was flat. So I just wanted to answer that question, Chair. Shall we do this report then, Chair?
Get the current financial position of the board. Mr. Nicholson, how many minutes? 10 minutes?
Questions? No, questions.
No, 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Session, not more than 10 minutes.
We're doing 5.
5 minutes,
okay.
Right.
Chair, this is just the management accounts to the year-end 31st.
Are those documents submitted?
I think they were, Chair.
So, but we don't have copies. They were not supplied to us.
My shoulders fall, sir.
All right. Can
we copy this three after lunch?
No. How many pages? Is it very long?
I think it's about 10 or 11 pages, Chair.
All right. Can we just copy it on the disk and then just get the staff to try
and... And I apologize.
Okay.
I'm not sure. We'll find out over lunchtime what happened. It's to the yesterday's position of the 30th of September. The first slide tells us quarter on quarter. We had anticipated to make a loss of $85 million in this quarter, which is the quarter July, August, and September. We were $6 million better than our budget, and I'll come to some of the issues that affected us. But there you can see on this side, Chair, the breakdown in our revenue, where we were $40 million under, and the issue that is concerning us going forward is what is happening on our radio platforms. We've had a particularly large advertiser change the mix, where they've taken the money off radio and they've put it on television, and the other one is GCIS, who's spending significantly less this year than they did last year. And that, I think, is part of the general cutbacks on advertising across the board. If we look at our year-to-date performance, because I think this is where we need to focus much more focused on, Chair, our surplus for the first 6 months is 25 million rand. So at the end of the second quarter, we have posted a modest profit, to put it mildly, against a budgeted loss of 132 million, which means year-to-date we're 157 million rand better than we had budgeted to be, and that is in line, it's currently better than the government guarantee. We've also given you the breakdowns of which divisions have been what. But our revenue is disappointed us slightly by 15 million rand year to date, and that really comes out of our sports sponsorship revenue, where we didn't get as much as we'd hoped out of the World Cup, but a lot of that money was dislocated onto classical advertising, which is 125 million over, and our sponsorship revenue is 121 million rand under. So on television, we are marginally ahead. As I said, our radio is behind. Our trade exchanges, which are how we save cash, are behind. So we would hope to have saved more cash than we managed. Our license fees are better,
than budget, and that's because of volumes, partly because the new sets bought ahead of the World Cup, but we've also had better compliance in renewals. So clearly that some things are going right. If we look at our expenses, I know there's a whole lot of discussion about our austerity plan, and there's a very long document, if anybody's got time, for the 122 pages to detail it. But we really are tracking well on many of our expenses. We are battling with, I don't want to say this because Mr. DeLonge will promptly pull my head off for employee compensation, and that's partly once more because of our leave pay provisions not coming back down as we anticipated, because we had to deploy so many staff during the World Cup. It wasn't possible to achieve all of those targets. And also, once more, there is this question about freelancers and our benefit payments. Our marketing costs are underspent, which is still remains a concern of us, Chair. The big impediment for us there is to get a marketing partner on board and get our marketing programs corrected and to get a marketing a head of marketing into SABC. Our license collection costs were 10 million under. Our professional consulting fees is 20 million over, and this relates directly to the other issue we just spoke about, where this is where we also include our project costs. So we had a large unbudgeted expenditure in a project. We haven't paid the cash, but we have provided for it. If we hadn't provided for that, we in fact have made a 50 million rand profit to the 6 months. Otherwise, there's just, you know, there's some fairly small amounts where we're overrunning, but those are the really two big ones. It's professional and consulting fees and headcount and amortization of computer software. That's really about when we bring the software into our depreciation cycle. If we then go to our balance sheet very quickly, because there's an awful lot of it here, I just want to find our current assets. Our cash and cash equivalents, which is money at the bank, was 70 million rand. Our prepayments for sports rights was 226 million rand. Then our cash in fixed deposits, so in other words, where we're holding cash that we don't think we'll need in the next 30 days so we can get a better interest, was 322 million rand. So the SABC at the end of the quarter is well up on its liquidity, Chair. We've not drawn down the second tranche of government funding on the 473 million. So net for net, we're probably sitting at about a 650 million rand borrowing as opposed to the billion rand we had when we started the fiscal with Netcore. So our cash flow in this period has improved. And we'll just take you through that, and you can see here, our cash utilized in operations, the 2010 number is the full year number, but in the first 6 months, and it's quite important for us because traditionally our first 6 months has been our worst 6 months. We generated 142 million rand from our operations. And down the bottom here, where are we? Sorry, my eyes aren't as young as they used to be. Yes. Net cash from operating activities was 178 million rand at the end of the quarter. So certainly from our perspective right now, Chair, the first 6 months, from a cash flow point of view, that question that Mr. DeLonge was asking about, where is our liquidity, at the moment is gaining the right direction. And that's about as committal as I want to make that. It's gaining the right direction for many of the right reasons. Better control of operating expenses, better control of, well, not better control, lower capital expenditure, better working capital management, but an underinvestment in marketing, which is a concern for us. And our revenues are tracking where they need to be, but radio has gone a little bit soft for us. And we need to understand exactly from those two clients why it is and do they plan to make up for the balance of the year. So our cash and cash equivalents, then you can see it at 70 million rand, as we said, and that's literally how much money we could write a check for today and the bank would honor it. We've also included, because we've completed the audit, so this wasn't available in here, the management letter points, because that was the question, what did the external auditors find? There was a formal report, and these are the management control breakdowns. This year's audit was, I would say,
very rigorous, and they issued 63% of the total audit findings of 155 findings were for the first time. And that particularly was because we focused, the audit committee focused the audit on the IT systems and integration, and we'll come back now, and you'll see it very clearly in two divisions, we've got a big problem. Repeated for 2 to 3 years, 12%. Those are obviously the things that we're going to do quite quickly, and for the second year, 37%. So these are, I suppose, where members have raised their issues already about things that keep on coming back on the audit. So where are they? If you look at how many are important matters which must be addressed by the SABC in 12 months, it's 104, 67% of them. There are 22 matters requiring urgent attention, and there are 29 matters which are considered administrative. So that's where the filing in the area is not up to date. It is quite important stuff, but it is not going to save you, it's not going to improve your outcomes from a compliance or governance point of view. Internal control deficiencies are 74% of the issues. So it is about the control framework. It is about getting internal audit to work better and more and smarter. If you look where the findings on the divisions are, you can see, if you look at across all of our other businesses, so that's news, technology, regions, corporate services, which sit in other, that is about 43 comments. In our content division, it's 20% of the control issues. Our IT is almost 30% of the issues. What we did in the budget this year was we took all the IT departments, we centralized them, both to get better control of our IT, consolidation of our infrastructure, and to get our IT governance in place. And there were a whole host of IT policies that came through the last technology subcommittee meeting about security and data integrity and control environments. We also put a team some of our very best and most competent people have gone in to consolidate our television systems, both scheduling and sales systems. And then you can see group sales and marketing, which was 24% of our controls, and this is really as a consequence of trying to get to the bottom of these discounts and the issues there. So, Chair, that's a very short update on where we are, both from how we've been on controls in the 6 months and how we've been on the finances.
Thank you very much. Members, questions?
Chairperson, actually, it's difficult for us to ask questions because we don't have the documents in front of us. And I would like to suggest that we rather resume questions on this after lunch because with our documents, you know, we have also already sent it before, as you are aware. It is difficult for members to engage on that. Second issue is just that I just wanted to raise with the Honourable Board Member who intimated that that I have exceptional investigative skills. In fact, I do not. Firstly, it is part of an oversight function for members to be fully informed. Secondly, there's a free flow of information in this country at this stage. We still have a free media. And then thirdly, actually, the matter has been reported in the media at least 4 to 5 times already. So for any member of parliament who is conducting oversight over a specific entity, I think it's important for us to get information and to ask the board about those matters. So I just wanted to make that statement. Thank you, Chair.
Members, there's a suggestion that we convene after lunch. We adjourn now. It's almost 1 o'clock. Just to point out, our meeting will now take place at 2 o'clock in V475. That's in the room on the same floor on the other side. This venue is booked by another committee, I think. So we'll meet at 2 o'clock in V475. Unfortunately, due to austerity measures, we are not able to provide lunch. Very sorry about that.
I've got some.
You got some sandwiches alone. Thank you very much. We'll meet at 2 o'clock.
No, we have not for lunch.
I don't think he's a hell of a lot. I gave Joseph something if he wanted it, which he's going to transfer that for one just on. I don't.